Take your Bibles with me this morning for a few moments here to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7 today as we continue this series of kind of looking at who am I? As we've been journeying through Scripture and seeing these different verses and different things that pertain to who we are as humanity from a biblical, scriptural mindset. And so our journey began in Genesis and the idea that we were created and made in the image of God, that a right view of humanity begins with a right view of God and understanding who He is and what He's done in creating us in His image. And then last week was such a cheerful message that we are a wretched wreck. As we looked at the fact that we have a sin nature and that sin is just disastrous in our life and it destroys and it brings us down. But as we were looking at that and as we saw that battle of Paul in Romans 7, the back and forth, the war, the good that I want to do, I don't do, the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. We saw how that's all back and forth and we realized that when we see the depths of our depravity is when we can see the heights of His holiness. And we can see who He is. And we finished last week with the understanding that sin's contamination is disastrous, but Christ's redemption is glorious. And it changes our lives. So this morning, we want to look at who am I in Christ? Who am I in Christ? As we saw last week, we don't want to embrace us as we are. We don't want to just take us as we are in our sinfulness. We want to embrace Jesus and who we are in Him and what He does in our life. And so we want to embrace who Jesus is and what He's done and the salvation that He provides, the atonement that is made for our sins. So look with me here in Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. That is the imperative. That's the main verb, the main idea in what is really one big sentence here in verses 6 and 7. Walk in Him. How we are walking in the Lord. We do so as we have received Christ. We walk in Him. This imperative is active. It means that this is something that we need to continually do, that we need to continually be about. Therefore, as you've received Christ, so continually keep walking in Him, regardless of what the circumstance brings, regardless of what the day brings forth. Walk in Him. Walk in Jesus. And so when we do that, we see the benefits. We see all that comes with it. And this morning, I want to just quickly bring out, what is it meaning to walk in Him? Right from these two verses, the first thing we see is connection at reception. Verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. If you are going to walk in Jesus, it begins with a relationship with Him. There has to be a point in our life where there has been a connection made, where we have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's some interesting things that Paul is doing when he's writing this. The word received is that word that gives the idea of something that has been passed down, that has been given, that has been brought to. So this is something that has come to them through the teaching, through the efforts, through the work of someone, much less we see here Paul, who has built this church, who has been working with this church in these different things, who he has taught them who Jesus Christ is, that you have received this teaching, that you've received this understanding. And what have you received? The teachings about Christ Jesus, the Lord. And he's very specific here when he uses these terms, Christ Jesus. At different points, Paul uses a different combination of these different terms and these different titles. But it's very specific. Christ, the Messiah, the set aside one, Jesus, this Yeshua, this God is our salvation, who is the Lord, who's over all. This is the one that we receive. This is the one that we make a connection. Without that acceptance, without that reception, without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is no connection. There is no relationship. John 1:12, but as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. There has to be a time in our life where we connect to Jesus through receiving his offering, through receiving his gospel. It's the idea of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We escape our sinfulness. We escape our depravity, not through what we do, but through receiving the gospel, through receiving the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that our sins can be paid for, can be separated as far as the east is from the west, so that our works no longer matter. It is about who our relationship is with Jesus Christ. We receive that gospel. And when we hear that good news, we have the opportunity to respond to that good news. That means we need people sharing the good news. We need people sharing with others that this is how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is how you can know that your sins are forgiven. This is how you can know that you have hope. This is how you can have that newness. But before we run, before we get walking in our life in him, it starts with, have I received him as my Savior? Have I received the good news of the gospel? You know, in football, with my stature, they didn't like me playing wide receiver for some reason. And so my dreams, all those years in my backyard of becoming the great wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys were just, you know, gone whenever I walked in there and they put me on the offensive line. But I watched the different things and the things that you would hear the coaches say time and time again to those receiver is, look at the ball, receive the ball, catch the ball first. Then you can turn, then you can run, see that ball, catch that ball, bring it in, get a hold and get a grip on that ball. Make sure you've got it before you turn, before you go upfield. How many times have we seen it, even as professional NFL players, that they have tried to run before they actually have the ball? It starts with the reception. It starts with the catch. And if you drop the pass, it doesn't matter. The play is dead. In our walk in Jesus Christ, it starts with the reception. It starts with knowing that my life is secure because I have received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And Scripture tells us that it's for by grace that you are saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast in Ephesians 2:8-9. It tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, then that is bringing that eternal life to us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe. We confess. We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. The connection begins at reception. Therefore, as you have received Him, so walk in Him. I'm afraid so many times in our Christian walk, we fail because we try to walk in the deep things and we forget the joy and the newness of being in Jesus Christ. David in Psalm 51, when he was confronted with the sin, when he was pouring out in repentance for his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, there he says in Psalm 51, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." How many times do we get away from the joy of that day when I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? The joy of that day when I gave Him my sins and know that there He took them and placed them on the cross, that they were paid for, that my life, my eternity, my soul is forever changed, that I am a new creation, I'm a new creature, that there is the old things are passed away, and now I have become new. Restore unto us that freshness, that joy, that unbelievable excitement of knowing that Jesus is my Savior. Restore to us that freshness. As I walk in Him, I need to remember the joy of knowing my soul is secure in Him. The connection begins at reception. The second thing we see is we see the foundation for flourishing. Notice then the elaboration. Notice how he begins to describe, as we have received Christ, we're walking in Him. And what does this do? Verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith. These three terms are all modifying this walk in Him. And as they modify it, they are showing us a picture, a word picture of a foundation. We know, and the picture is very vivid, the idea of roots and a tree root and a root system. To understand that a tree has to have good roots to flourish. Without the roots, it's not going to get the nourishment. It's not going to get the water that it needs. And the roots allow it to flourish, to grow. Do you know that when you look at the redwoods, and when you see the huge trees, and how incredibly big around that they are, but how tall that those magnificent redwoods go. If you've ever seen them in person, just the magnitude is inspiring. And to see those trees in that magnificent picture, it is what is going on underground that allows them to grow so tall. Because it's not just the root system that they have, they are also so tight, so packed in together, that their root system begins to intermingle with one another, and their root system begins to tie to one another. And when they are rooted, they are able to go high even in the midst of such winds, because their roots are anchoring them to security. They're giving them strength. We walk in Him because that is our roots. That is our nourishment. That gives us the ability to stand tall in the midst of the winds, because we are rooted in Jesus Christ. This word is in a tense that means it's ongoing. It's something that should continue. We should be rooted in Jesus Christ and then built up. The idea is the construction idea of being building upon the foundation, followed with established in the faith, that strength of being established in Him in faith. And this happens through the teaching established in the faith just as you were taught. You were established in the faith just as you were taught, just as you received, just as you gained. This tells us if we want to continue walking in Him, if we want that sturdy foundation, if we want that strength, if we want that stability, keep being a learner. Keep growing. Never get to a point where it's like, you know what, this is old hat, or you know what, I know enough. We find ourselves in dangerous ground when that happens. Keep learning. Keep growing. Establish yourself in that strength by walking in Him. And then thirdly, we see the acceleration in gratitude. We're rooted, we're built up in Him, we're established in the faith just as we're taught. And then notice that last part, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. Now, I think this is something very important that we don't need to just skip over as the last little tag to what is happening, because this is important to especially what believers and what Christians and what those that are following Jesus Christ are walking through in this point in time right now. That we accelerate in gratitude. The word abound means to excel. It means to keep pressing forward, to keep accelerating. And it's active. It means it's ongoing. Keep going. Keep pressing forward. Keep being grateful. Keep giving thanks. So why should we accelerate in thanksgiving? In the midst of all that we see, why do we keep pushing forward in thanksgiving? Because thanksgiving is a response to grace. We will be thankful when we respond to God and His grace and what He's done for us. And thanksgiving is the outflow. It's the outpouring of the one that has that grace in mind. When your mind and when your life is centered and focused on Jesus, you're not going to have as much time to complain. Because you're going to be focused on who He is. You're going to be focused on what He's done for me. You're going to be focused on that grace. You're going to be focused on His character. You're going to be focused on who He is. And you can accelerate in thanksgiving. Find somebody that is constantly thankful, and you'll find somebody that you want to be around. Because they are continually to respond to that. Think of acceleration. Years ago, it was my senior year of high school, Universal Studios in Orlando was opening a new theme park. It was called Islands of Adventure. And now it's like, seems like it's been around forever. It makes me feel young. But they were opening this park and they were building all these new roller coasters and all these new things. And my brother was our youth pastor at the time. And so we were about 45 minutes south of Orlando. And so my brother contacted them and said, listen, I see you've got this soft opening. I'd love to be able to bring our youth group up there and you know, just kind of give them a chance to test out all the rides and things like you're wanting. And they said, sure, let's do that. But here, we're going to give you 3 tickets before then so you can bring a couple people and just come up and check it out. So I guess I was found in the good graces of my brother that day because I got to go with him. Me and another guy, we go up to Universal that day, and they're testing out all the roller coasters, and maybe we were just the dumb ones. I don't know what it was. But one of the roller coasters was called the Incredible Hulk. And you get in the roller coaster, you strap in, and, you know, most roller coasters, you know, they go up the hill, and you get the clack, 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 as it goes up the hill, and it, you know, brings you over the hill and shoots you down. That's where you gain your momentum and, you know, all that fun physics stuff. Not this one. You sit in, and when you know a roller coaster is serious, when you have the lap belt and they're bringing something over you, all right? And so they bring this thing down, they strap you in nice and tight, and we're sitting in this thing, and there's nobody really in the park, so we got to choose. So we're like, let's sit in the front. Let's do it. We're in the front car of this purple and green monstrosity, And we're sitting in this tunnel. We're looking out this tunnel. It's all dark. That's another red flag. They give the all clears and the thumbs up and everything that everybody's so happy at Six Flags when they do. And they're smiling, waving at you. And you're dumb enough like, hey, this is fun. And then they punch it. And then that roller coaster, they shoot you out the tunnel. You don't go up a hill. You don't get a chance to brace and see what's going on. They shoot you through a dark hole into the bright sunlight. You have no clue what's going on, and you're shooting out about 60 miles an hour. And so as you hit that acceleration, as they hit that button and that thing takes off, what do? Boom, you press back into the seat, your cheeks are flying back, all the fun spits flying everywhere, and you're just sitting there and the acceleration's moving you forward with all its force through all the forces that are fighting against you. Through all the gravity, through all the things that are pushing against you, the acceleration pushes through that. Do you get the picture here? We accelerate in gratitude because it pushes against all the forces trying to hold us back. When you accelerate in gratitude because you're responding to the grace of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden the force of bitterness starts to go away. All of a sudden the force of anger starts to go away. All of a sudden the force of individualism, of selfishness, of entitlement, of all of those things begin to go away because you're accelerating in gratitude for who Jesus Christ is. When we walk in Him, when we are rooted and put our roots in Him and we're walking in Jesus Christ, we begin to respond with thanksgiving to all that He's done. And that helps us accelerate through no matter what force is pushing against us. The problem is we got a very low horsepower Christian sometimes that aren't accelerating forward. They're letting the forces push them against us because they forgot to walk in Christ Jesus. Walk in Him. Accelerate through all of that. You see, as we look at these two verses today, pardon me, it's so hard sometimes just to take two verses and totally miss the greater context. Because why is Paul saying this? What is that therefore in verse 6 all about? Why did he say therefore? Look at the beginning of chapter 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in the body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Do you get the spirit of what Paul's saying here? I want you to understand how we are laboring, how we're working, the struggle that we have for you and the church at Laodicea. Maybe you've heard of that name before. Laodicea. If you've been to our Wednesday night Bible studies, you better have understood that name. Because the church at Laodicea is the last church written in the church of the seven churches that are written to in the book of Revelation. And it's notable because it's the church that Jesus says, I want to spit you out of my mouth. I want to spew. I want to vomit you out of my mouth. Laodicea was known as being lukewarm. They weren't beneficial. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. And so Paul is saying here, for this church at Colossae, for this church at Laodicea, I want you to be encouraged. Excuse me. I want you to be growing together. I want you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to know how to stand in the midst of all these different arguments and all these different things that are flowing around. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In the midst of everything that's going on around you, don't be lukewarm. Be in Christ. And when we look at this passage and we see these truths, connection at reception, foundation for flourishing, acceleration in gratitude, it shows us that walking in Christ stabilizes hearts inward and it models hope outward. It stabilizes our heart on the inside so that no matter what's going on around us, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And then it models hope to all those that are around us. And that's what's important right now for us. How stable is our heart, our roots, our establishment, we're being built in Him? How stable are our hearts inward so that we can model hope outward? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord. Set Him apart in your hearts. Make Him something special in your life. Walk in Him so that when people ask you, when people ask about your life, when people look on that and see, why do you have hope? You can give them an answer with meekness and in fear. The problem is, even in the midst of all the turmoil that everyone is walking through the midst of COVID, through the midst of elections, through the midst of all this back and forth in our society, Christians should be the one that are modeling, we have a hope. We have Jesus Christ. And regardless of all the forces that might be coming against me, it doesn't have to change me because I'm stable on the inside, because I'm walking in Jesus Christ, and He gives me hope day to day on the outside. Then let me tell you what He can do for you. Let me tell you about that hope. Can I ask you, are people going to ask you about your hope? Do they see that kind of hope in Jesus Christ in you? Or do they just see a reflection of all that's going on around them? Bitterness, anger, attacks, the fighting, the backbiting. Do they see a reflection of that? Or do they see a reflection of Jesus Christ? Are we modeling hope through our lives? Do they see that hope in us? Last night was a very interesting night. And it really made me think about this right here. Yesterday, you know, if you're a parent, you know how fun life can be sometimes with kids. Charlie fell down the stairs and she hit her head. And trying to get her to calm down, and we put some ice on it, and she just really wasn't responding great. And so Nicole and I decided we need to take her to Children's and get her checked out. And on the way there, she began throwing up and all over her and all over Nicole, and thankfully I was driving. And we get to Children's, and we know our current climate, right? It's COVID. And it became a little bit more real what some of you have gone through. That when you want to walk into a hospital and see your loved one, you can't. Because there's only a limit that as the parent of a little, almost three-year-old child, dad needs to be there. And thankfully, she's got a great mama. She probably wanted mama any more than me. And so that's all, you know, working on me. And I'm praying, and I'm in the waiting parking garage of the hospital there. There's a little waiting area. And so I'm sitting in there, and I'm waiting, and I'm getting in. And Nicole would FaceTime and video message me back and forth with her as they did the different scans. And thankfully, there were no fractures, no bleeds, and she just had a concussion. And she's doing really, really good. And so as that began to kind of clear up a little bit, and I began looking around the waiting room. And here's another family who's on a video call, and it's a mom and a dad, or a stepdad and a mom, and a couple others, and they're looking on this call, and this is a young man that had been brought by ambulance because of seizures. And as they're talking to him, he begins throwing up. And you can only imagine they want to be right there. There's other couples around the room talking to their kids. And for some reason, Nicole wanted a new shirt. So I left to go to Target to get her a shirt and come back. And as I'm driving out of the parking lot in the front of the emergency room, there's two guys just hugging. Two other people right there with their hands around them, knowing they can't go in there. You don't know what all they're going through. You just know they're hurting. And I say all this as this picture just became really vivid to what some of you have had to endure. And there's so many in our family in our church family that have lost loved ones that have missed some of those things. And as we see all this going on around us, people are hurting. People are searching. They're looking. And this morning, your salvation in Jesus Christ might be secure. There might be that day where you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but I want you to know that the world out there needs you to walk in Him. Because they need you to model that hope. Your coworkers that you don't see smiling right now, and you also don't see them hurting, need you to model hope in Jesus Christ. They don't need all your bitterness. They don't need all the mess that they can find on social media and any other conversation that they can have with any other person. They need you to model hope of Jesus Christ. They need you to model the hope that He provides for us. That regardless of the forces that are coming our way, we have the ability to accelerate in gratitude because we're responding to the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And that gives us the opportunity to model for other people hope of Jesus Christ. That is why Christianity has always thrived in opposition. That even when they're being martyred, the church grew because of their hope in Jesus Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This morning, as we close, Andrew and the musicians, they're going to sing "In Christ Alone," and we're going to sing it together. But I want you to hear these words. This song was written with the idea of presenting in words what it's like to know what Jesus Christ has done for us and how that allows us to walk in Him. And so listen to what these words say. In Christ alone. You know, Michelle, just follow along with us so that we can read along in these words. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh the fullness of God and helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay. Light of the world, by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand. Till He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. Do they see that hope